Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. I'm chatting with John Rubino, founder and editor of the Dollar Collapse website. Now, John, we're going to start off here talking about the precious metals sector, but when it comes to the major miners, because we are in earnings season and we are starting to get some of the reports, the earnings reports from these major miners. And I don't think anyone's surprised that the miners are producing some pretty good financial numbers now. They continue to build their cash positions. They're seeing higher margins because of just the generally higher precious metals price, even through the first quarter when precious metals broadly were fading in price. It was still a good enough level where these things are that, quite frankly, these miners still making money. Let's start off there, John, with the fact that these majors are in better financial situations and positions, but they're still not, let's say, the flavor of the month stocks. They're not attracting all kinds of generalist investors. We have seen some new money come in, but overall, look, they're looking healthy, but still have yet to get that big rush into them. What are your thoughts?
Hey, Corey. Yeah, they're not attractive to the hot money yet. But the fundamentals are really going in the right direction. Before the show, I looked up Agnico Eagle, Newmont, and Barrick for their first quarter earnings. And they're all either, predicted to be or have come out with a similar profile. You know, unspectacular production year over year, but higher selling prices for gold and silver, and therefore better earnings and really good looking free cash flow. And so... You know, these guys, each of them are looking at, $1 billion-ish a year in free cash flow going forward at current prices. And that's an awful lot of money for this industry, which means they're able to pay off debt. They're able to increase their dividends. And those two things make them attractive to non-precious metal centric buyers because it gives them a yield or it gives them really good fundamentals and it also gives them earnings momentum. So there are a lot of different screens out there that would end up highlighting the miners if they continue to behave the way they're behaving operationally right now and if gold and silver prices stay kind of where they are right now or even go up. So you could see a lot of new money coming into this sector just because they're doing things they didn't used to do. You know, all of a sudden they might yield you 2 or 3 or 4%, you know, which is in this world an excellent yield that a lot of people are hungry for. So that, you know, they could even be attractive to pension funds for that reason, because that's better than you get with a 10-year treasury. So there are a lot of reasons to like the big miners. But it's not really a big secret that they're putting up good numbers and everything. But what I think what's interesting in this story is that the best environment imaginable for the juniors is the current environment for the majors. In other words, all this new money coming into Agnico Eagle and Newmont is going to start burning a hole in their pocket pretty soon. You know, it's okay to be a dividend play, but that's not exciting. That doesn't get you on the cover of magazines. But what does is building empires. And at the same time, they're not replacing their reserves. So in any event, they need to find new reserves from somewhere. So if you're an exploration company and you're hitting some good drill holes, and it's starting to look like maybe you have a tier one deposit, you're going to be on the radar screen of these big guys with billions of dollars to throw at it. So that's coming, you know. I don't know what the catalyst is for the transition to where all of a sudden junior miners are the hot new thing. But the numbers make it look like that is something that's not far off and in any event is heading this way.
Well, and I think that's what a lot of people are waiting for, right? A pickup in M&A activity. And a lot of people have used the excuse that COVID has limited travel and we haven't seen a whole lot of M&A activity. I think that does play into it. But fact of the matter is these majors are also being more responsible with their money. So, you know, that could be at least encouraging, saying maybe this isn't the top of the market, kind of like last year, about a decade ago, when the top of the market was here and these miners, majors were acquiring everything, especially marginal deposits, were not there. But that leads us to a conversation on, have we seen a generational shift in some of these miners? Are they going to be more responsible?
Well, remember that the gold and silver mining industry had a uniquely bad reputation after the last cycle as just a bunch of dumbasses who didn't know how to manage their money and who, you know, were trying to build empires because of their egos and everything. So, you know, when you get that kind of a rep and you know everybody thinks that about you, it takes a while to go back to even responsible, aggressive M&A, because, you know, your predecessors, or possibly you, if you were in, you know, if you're the CEO now, but you were somewhere in the structure of a company that did that last time around, you know, you don't want to be that guy again. So it's going to take a long time. But having said that, these are human beings, you know, and if you give a human being a huge amount of extra money, they're going to tend to be more aggressive than they would have been if you didn't give them that extra money. And there will come a time when, you know, when a mid-tier CEO is looking at Newmont's CEO and saying, hey, I could be that guy if I just bought these other two mid-tier companies. And, you know, that kind of thing will start again. And at the same time, they are all desperate for more reserves. So, you know, a big hesitancy can turn into a free-for-all very easily once a couple of juniors get bought out for really big premiums. And then the guys who haven't done any M&A yet think, well, okay, I guess I need to start doing this too. And then everybody jumps in. So, you know, the catalyst could be something like Great Bear, which you and I have talked about a lot. But they're having some really successful drilling. They're building what looks like a major deposit, maybe 5 million ounces, maybe more, in a really good part of Canada where it's easy to get to and it's near the surface and everything. And so it's just a, you know, beautiful profile for an acquisition by a big miner, because it moves the needle instantly for even a Newmont or a Barrick. So maybe they get bought out at a big premium, and the number is big enough, because it would be, you know, to give them a big premium from here, it would be a pretty good size number. And that gets everybody's attention, and that changes market psychology. So that could happen, you know, and that could happen pretty soon, really. You know, they're talking about having a, you know, a resource published early next year. So we're not that far from that happening, and it's possible that somebody steps in early to try to get a better deal, because they basically have seen as much as they need to see of the drilling to infer what's there. So we'll see. You know, it could be that all this stuff is not that far away.
Yeah, who knows, though, right? We're waiting for at least one or two deals to be done that actually get the market's attention, because some of the recent M&A transactions have not gotten a positive response. And unfortunately, the stocks have sold off afterwards, which doesn't give you a whole lot of confidence of more deals happening right around the corner.
Yeah. John, are you thinking of Fortuna? Oh, sorry, Corey, but are you thinking of Fortuna? Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. That one didn't really help the story at all.
No, it did not. Now, John, one other thing that we do need to talk about is that, look, the metal stocks, precious metal stocks, were under pressure because precious metals were dropping. April was a nice rebound for gold and even silver. Silver is just more trading in a range. And we're getting May off to a pretty good start right now, especially this week. How important is it in your eyes that the metals prices actually start moving higher rather than continuing to fade, because of the fact that can actually bring more money in? Investors aren't interested in trying to invest in a sector when the underlying commodity is falling.
Well, if gold and silver start going up again, then that means everything we've said up to this point is irrelevant, because higher prices will pull the juniors up and make the majors phenomenal investments and everything. You know, that would be a given, like $2,500 US gold and $35 or $40 silver would just make the whole sector really hot. But it wouldn't take that for the stuff we talked about before to come in play. For instance, $1,800 US gold is enough for the big guys to generate tons of cash flow and then put that cash flow to work, building up their reserves by buying juniors. All of that could happen with today's prices. So what you don't want to see, I mean, so either scenario, rising prices or stable prices, those are both fine from the standpoint of precious metals and mining investing. But what you don't want to see is a stock market collapse led by big tech, for instance, that pulls down everything else. and knocks gold and silver down by 20 or 30 or 40% and pulls the miners down by 50 or 60%, which I think that's a 50-50 shot right now. So, you have to be careful despite good fundamentals and precious metals, because the rest of the world is such a mess. And the fact that there are these massive air pockets under a lot of the big stocks out there means that you can never rest easy in any part of the stock market right now, because the baby can be thrown out with the bathwater, as it tends to be. Like, look at a year ago, what happened, or what, 14 months ago now, when basically everything went down all at once, and it had nothing to do with gold and silver's fundamentals or the miners, how well they were doing or anything. It's just the whole stock market tanked. So we could see that again. And that's the big risk in any kind of investment thesis, and especially with precious metals, because they're kind of volatile anyhow. So, jumping with both feet into the mining stocks right now is a great idea fundamentally, but a scary idea from a macro standpoint. So you have to keep both of those in mind and balance it out when you're investing. Don't do all of any one thing in a world where everything can fall apart all at once.
So, John, what are you going to have your eye on here as we progress through this month and even through summer? What do you think is most crucial for investors to watch?
The 10-year Treasury. Hands down. if interest rates go up in the U.S., we're seeing inflation now for several reasons. The second biggest is that supply chains are disrupted all around the world, in part because of COVID and in part because things have picked up very quickly lately as we rebound and come out of lockdown. And the other is just the sheer amount of money that the big governments are pumping into the system. So you've got these two really inflationary forces at work right now, which is going to lead to higher headline inflation numbers. And if that spooks the financial markets and sends interest rates higher, then that could be a catalyst for a big stock market sell-off. I mean, it would be by definition a bond market sell-off. That's the thing to watch. If the 10-year rate starts getting a new handle, like if it starts going up into the twos, then that's really dangerous for the financial markets in general. And you would want to be extremely careful at that point, just because that can send things spinning out of control really easily. And it's possible that it also sets the stage for the kind of end game when the Fed steps in to try to push interest rates down, and people realize that the amount of money they have to create to do that will actually send inflation higher, and they bid interest rates up because of that. And we all realize that the Fed is out of tools, and we're in chaos, and there's no adult supervision anymore. Daddy's not coming home to fix things, and all bets are off when that happens. I think that would be very good for precious metals, because that's where people like to hide out in times of extreme uncertainty. But in the short run, you just can't know what that means for the mining stocks, because it would probably be bad for a lot of other stocks, and maybe that bleeds over into the mining sector. I don't know. So I think the year ahead is potentially really chaotic, and I think precious metals are probably your best bet, but they are not a lock. They're not a guarantee in the year ahead at all. Just they're the safest place to hide out in absolute chaos.
Yeah, well, there are a number of commentators that we have on too that are saying we might need to wait till next year for another significant run to happen in these metals, or to at least test out some of those highs from middle to late last year. But we'll see how it all plays out. Again, a lot of things driving these markets, but still a lot of focus simply on the Fed and what rates are doing. John, great chatting with you. Thanks again for your time. We'll chat again in another couple weeks. I hope you have a great rest of your week.
Thanks, Corey. You too.